turning over to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. The song leaders have done an excellent job. Tonight, the songs you just led were perfect for my lesson tonight on unity. In fact, this particular song, 219, had a lot of wonderful thoughts, and I noticed that the scriptural reference was the one I wanted to start with, and that's Psalm 133. And we're going to read the whole chapter, so sit back, because we're going to be here a while. If you're already there, you know it's a very short psalm. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore." I don't know that I actually can comprehend a lot of the poetry there, not being in that age and the things that he himself seems to have witnessed. But I know that this is just a picture of what it means to be unified as God's people. And that's really what we want to talk about tonight in this last lesson. Before we do that, I want to thank all of you for the opportunity to come. As I mentioned, I realize that I'm the substitute that came with David Tomley not able to come. And I know that he sounds loved by all of you. But I appreciate the opportunity to come in his absence to know you. Doug has wanted me for years now to follow him here and to worship with you and get to meet you on our way back from the camp, and I haven't been able to do that. And so those of you that have been so kind to Lisa and I have treated us very well. You've fed us. You've been so kind. The conversations, we've enjoyed every bit of it. Stop in and say hello, and you're more than welcome to stay with us. As I heard a preacher say one time, you just don't all come at once. We don't have that big of a place, but we can. We've got quite a bit of room, and we'd love to have you come. And we're no longer strangers. We're family, and that's what we talked about last night. So by way of recap, again, we've kind of taken some single words to try to help us remember our lessons. And so as I laid these out, we want to realize that we need to defeat Satan. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy my family. He wants to destroy congregations, a society. He's a lion going around seeking whom he may devour. And so our word is defeat. We need to defeat the devil. We need to put on that armor of God and defeat him. We talked about that we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the point that I really want to latch on there is it's the precious blood of Jesus, but I also want us to understand that if I've been purchased, I belong to somebody else. And it's very important for us to all understand that we belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore as his disciple, he is our king, he is the prophet, he is our high priest, he is the Christ, the Son of God, that we need to serve him faithfully all the days of our life. We have washed our sins away in his blood. So we did spend some time talking about his cruel death. And then we talked about needing to be focused and understand that the Lord has given the local congregation a work to do. And we need to do that to the best of our ability. We all need to see the importance of that. We need and we need to make sure that the gospel is able to reach people through the Lord's prayer. night, though, we talked about how people get distracted from that work. And when you get distracted from the work, it can cause all kinds of problems. But a lot of people have said, well, you know, the gospel, though it's powerful, we've got to use other things and gimmicks and ways to draw them in, to bring them in, and then we'll teach them. And that's become known as the social gospel. And in reality, what happens is it's no different than when Jesus said, you're here because I fed you and you want some more food. And that's just kind of human nature, I think, that you take the food away and you take all the fun away and they say, well, I don't like this. This is boring. And we'll just go down the road and find someplace else. And you remember the point I made is, I'll find something that pleases me. But that's not why we are here on this earth. We are here to bring glory and honor unto our Creator who loves us very much, has provided a home that we can't even come. A lot of times at the end of a meeting, I'll talk about heaven and I'll talk about the wonderful blessings that we have and the hope that we have. And so all of those things are placed before us and we can't get distracted from that. And then last evening, we talked about how important it is for us to be a spiritual family, to love one another. And how we go about doing that. We talked about comforting one another, encouraging one another, building each other up. In my family, I love my children, but there were times that I had to shoot straight and rebuke them and correct them. And sometimes that happens even in the family of God. That we want it's all about attitude. If you are doing wrong, but you want to go to heaven, then you want to be corrected, and you'll welcome that, and so you'll have to put down your pride. But the goal is that you always want to be pleasing to God. And so shoulder to shoulder, and we love and we function as a family, and we talked a lot about that. And so tonight I want to finish up our thoughts, and our word tonight is just simply, the lesson is titled, One Unified Body of Diverse Members. And that goes back to what I already said in the lesson about some of you are strange. You're just weird. And all that's to just say that we're all very different. We have different interests. We come from different backgrounds. We're at different levels. We're very different. We're different colors, you know. And just all kinds of different environments that we've been brought up in. And yet it's to be one unified body. And so we're going to talk about that. And, of course, you know that our single word is going to be unity. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think most of us already know, of course, that Corinth is a congregation that probably, if it existed today, not too many of us would really even want to attend there. Because they're so divided. They had so many problems. And so the book of 1 Corinthians is Paul trying to lay down the truth, get them all on the same road, and then headed in the same direction. And one of the first things he does in the first chapter in verse 10 is he says this, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, have the doctrine of Christ. We have the will of Jesus Christ recorded for us. So we all, if we will speak truth and speak the doctrine of Christ, we'll sound alike. Now that doesn't mean that some of us don't have a southern drawl and that others have a New York accent or maybe a Boston or something of that nature. What it's talking about is when we talk, we sound like Jesus Christ. We don't use crude language. And when we speak the truth. We talk about spiritual things. And all of these things add up to you know, we look a lot alike when we sound alike. And then he says, you have to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Which makes me again think about Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who, as was read around the table even on Sunday, he emptied himself and he became a servant. God became flesh and served mankind. And he says, you need to have that same mind. And I think that's what Paul's saying is we all need to think alike from the standpoint of we follow Jesus and we follow the Scriptures and we will think alike. We'll think about things. We'll think about things alike because we're following the Scriptures. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have different ball teams that we like. And maybe you're a Ford man or a Chevy man or you're a Volkswagen guy. You know, I happen to be a Toyota guy, and you know, it just, and that becomes, listen, I preached in Ridgeway, Virginia, and one of the first things I was told, that's where Martinsville Speedway is down there, and the preacher said, listen, don't use any analogies of Ford and Chevy. You'll get yourself in trouble down there if you start talking about that. Well, that's not what we're talking about when we think about speaking the same thing, being of the same mind. We're talking about spiritually being united. And then he says to be perfectly joined in the same judgment. And all that really means is that we'll think about doing the right thing. We'll know what the right thing is and we'll make that judgment. We'll discern it and we'll do the right thing. Again, because we're following the Word of God. But as you move through the book of 1 Corinthians, as you're well aware, when you get to chapter 14, which is all of a sudden they're divided all about these spiritual gifts. There's spiritual gifts that were present in the first century that are not present today. And so prior to that, he's been laying down teaching. He's been talking about the importance of love in chapter 13. And then by the time he gets to chapter 14, he's talking about how you've got this all wrong and you're so divided in regards to spiritual gifts. What's interesting, if you go back to chapter 12, which is where I want you to turn now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at chapter 12 and this idea of one unified body of diverse members. What he does is, again, understanding that these spiritual gifts no longer exist because that which is perfect is coming. He talks about a body, a physical body. But you know what the Apostle Paul likes to do? He talks about a Roman soldier's armor, but he's not talking about a Roman soldier's armor. He's talking about you being ready to fight a spiritual battle, and here's how you do it. Or I think of in Ephesians chapter 5 when he talks about the husband and wife relationship. And then after you start, and we use that, I don't know what we would use without that passage. What's interesting as he's doing this, he says, I'm not really talking about the husband and wife relationship. I'm talking about your relationship with Christ. Well, he does the same thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When he starts talking about the physical body, what he's really wanting us to latch on to is he's talking to us about a spiritual body. He's talking about you and I in a congregation like here at Southside or back home at Tri-Cities where I'm at or up the road at Eastside or the West End and various congregations around town. And I don't know all of them, but you're well aware of the congregations around here. And so as we think about these congregations, and we think about what he's saying is he's saying, and we're going to look at this, but basically if we break this down, it comes down to our word. Your physical body's got a lot of different members, and they all have to function together in unity. And so he's going to talk about how it is that the physical body can't do these things because it'll cause problems in the body. But he's talking to us about a spiritual body and how a spiritual body has many members but they need to function together and be unified together as one. So this ties in very well with our thoughts last night. So let's read together. I want to read the text. I want to kind of bring it down, or break it down then. Let's begin in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has said, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. For if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the chapter about love. And so I'd like to, you know, kind of preach all that together, because it goes back into last night's lesson. But basically, let's talk about this idea, of unity. Well, I don't think I got the right one, but that's okay. My first point is this. And so here's what happens when you don't have a PowerPoint. This becomes your PowerPoint. So I'm going to do a lot of PowerPointing, okay? All right, point number one is this. I've only got two, really. One unified body, diverse members. The spiritual body is like the physical body. Look at verse 12. For if the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Talking about the physical body. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. 7. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Well, all of us, this is one of those things that is, it's kind of very obvious, really. Body, I have one body, and that one body is made up of all kinds of members. I've got eyes, ears, nose, mouth, head, arms, fingers, toes. Internally, I have 206 bones, 600 muscles. I've got a heart, I've got a liver, etc. You see, the physical body is one body, but it's made up of all kinds of different members. And so can you think of any body part that is disconnected from the body? That's not a tough question, but you're thinking. The answer is no. No, there isn't. And the spiritual body is the same. Verse 12. So also is Christ. Hold your place and turn back to Romans chapter 12. And in verse 4 and 5. Because Paul makes the same point to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Do you see what a beautiful picture that is of unity? a congregation that assembles together and functions together, and as we talked about last night, loves each other and rejoices and weeps and takes and helps us during the times of trials. The brethren that, again, help us handle tragedy in a positive way, the things that we talked about that really help us identify ourselves as a spiritual family. When you think about the body, Paul here in Romans and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he is telling us that the spiritual body is the same. One body, one local body here, got various members. And as we're going to continue to talk this through, you understand that we all don't have the same function. And some of that is by design by God, as we'll see, and others, it varies on our level of faith, maybe talents. But I also wanted to make this point in verse 13, which goes back to our point of being purchased. Because how does a person actually become a part of the body? By one Spirit, we're all baptized in. All been made to drink into one Spirit. We all got into the body, the universal body, the same way. It's the point I've made a number of times. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so you're baptized into Christ. You put Him on. You have your sins washed away. You belong to Him now. And the Lord adds you to the church. But the other part of that is, And that's for whosoever, Jew, Greek. It doesn't matter what part of the world, you can be saved by the same message. But not only that, but this body is unified not as by one Spirit, he says, and he says it's Christ's body. And if the spiritual body is Christ, and it's made up of many members, should any part be disconnected from the body? Remember the question I asked? So just think about a local congregation, which is he's trying to get Corinth to become united, and they're so divided, and he needs them to become united, and he's doing this by saying, well, you know how a body works together. And so I just asked you the question, do you know any part of the body that's disconnected? And the answer is no. So what happens when members disconnect themselves from the body? Meaning they stop showing up. They start being apart. They stop being apart. They start going off and astray. It's like that sheep. You see how important it is to bring them back into the body? Because they have to function in the body. They can't reject Christ when they need to function as He has directed them to. I would say it's like a body part missing in action. And we would say, no, I can't have any body parts missing in action. Yet that's what happens when members are detached from worship and the fellowship is lacking, or they stop provoking one another unto love and good works, which we talked about last night, or they're not living a faithful, godly life. And yet there are people that's exactly what they try to do. They try to live independent of the body, the local congregation, and the faithful service to Christ the head in the body. And Paul's saying, that's not how this works. You're added to the universal church, but you connect yourself to the local body. And now let's switch gears to, well, what do I do? I'm a member of a congregation, but what do I do? Well, that's the second point. Recognize your part in the spiritual body. Look at verse 15 again. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And what's the answer? Well, just because you say you aren't doesn't mean that you are not still part of the body. And then he says, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of the body. He says, no, is it therefore not a part of the body? No, you're still part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So the first thing that I want to mention in the second part is recognize your part in the spiritual body. Point number two. And so what I want us to understand is you can't be in the body of Christ and be something you're not. And let me explain what I mean. Not everyone can be an elder. And the reason I say that is that Paul lays down the character of a man that can be appointed or ordained as an elder to serve as an elder. And so you understand that not everybody can. And in fact, it has to be a man, which means a woman can't. And in this day and time, well, that's not politically correct, is it? Or that's not going to sit well with a lot of women. But we're not pleasing society. We're pleasing God. So what I'm saying is that there's things in the body that you may not be authorized to do. Women cannot be preachers. And yet that's something that, again, as we talked about on Monday night, those things have their way of just working themselves into churches that belong to Christ, and then they err from the truth because they turn from the Scriptures. But in a body, you have to recognize your part and what you can and cannot do. And it's the point he's making. Just like the foot can't say, well, I'm not the hand. Because I'm not the hand, well then, I don't want to be part of the body. Well, it still makes you part of the body. You got to get an attitude check, don't you? And what tends to happen is we don't recognize that we start causing problems for the rest of the body. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. So there has to be unity in all of this, in the diversity of the physical body. And it is true of the spiritual body as well. Verse 17 again, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Well, I don't know about you, but I sure like to have a good smeller to be able to smell all that wonderful food and various things, and I sure do appreciate my eyes, and I do like to hear what people have to say. So I need each of the body parts that I have. And so it is true with the spiritual body of Christ. If the whole body were an eye and had no hearing or smelling or tasting, then the spiritual body would, again, has all these different members, but they're all the same. Well, that's not good either. And he's trying to get us to relate to this physical body, spiritual body, because of the diversity that we have and the different roles that we have. And I also want to point out, look at verse 18. As he pleased. And that goes back to the point I was trying to get us to understand. The church doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. And so this is God's will. This is God's order. And he's using the physical body, not to be redundant, to talk about the spiritual body. And he says, the way this is because God said, this is the way I want it, and it pleases him. So look at all the trouble that happens when we don't respect that point and we want to do things our way. Now again, verse 19 to 26, he's talking about how all the parts are needed in the spiritual body. And he makes the point in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. Can you imagine my eye telling the hand, I have no need for you. What would the hand say? Well, then how are you going to pick up what you see? And then the eye would say, give it a try. See if you can do it. If you want to play that game. So what's the point when it comes back to our spiritual family and unity? It's pretty simple. We need each other. Every last one of us. We need each other. Every part is so important in the body. But how is it that members do this? Where the unity is disrupted. I don't need you. Well, they don't speak to each other. I had some ladies that didn't speak to me for about a year and a half. And finally came to their senses. What was that saying? I don't. I saying, but a hand, it doesn't work that way in the physical body. We understand that it has to function well together. And just like all the parts of the physical body are needed, Paul goes on to say, even the weaker ones, like your little toe, that hurts so bad when you hit it, versus your big toe, which takes a beating often. Do you know what I'm talking about? You hit your big toe, it's a big toe. It takes a bigger beating. But you hit that little toe, that pinky toe, and man, you'll come undone, won't you? Let me ask you a question. How important is your saliva glands? Right there underneath your tongue? You want me to tell you how important that is in my body? I woke up one Sunday morning early, and the whole side of my face was hurting, and I got up. I was living in a house with my brother and had moved out, and I walk in the bathroom, and it's just like, this is just killing me. And by daylight, the other side was hurting really bad. And I didn't go to Bible study. I went to worship, and then after worship, I was like, something's not right. Do you know what happens when you don't have spit? Something you take for granted? Well, I can tell you what happens when your saliva glands, which I didn't know, but apparently you can even get a stone in your saliva gland, and it plugged. I had no spit for days. I went to the doctor. He gave me such a big shot of penicillin, I thought you would give it to whores. And honestly, if my mom hadn't come in after I went, you know, it's like follow the doctor out of the room. And I thought I was going to pass out. And my mom just happened to step through the door. And I'm like, Mom, follow him. I got to get a drink of water. And here's what he said. He goes, come back on Wednesday. If this doesn't clear up, I'm going to have to put you in the hospital. I was in college. I think I was a senior in college. I didn't have time to go to the hospital because I don't have spit. Well, you know what my tongue did without spit? You could not have known that your tongue not only would turn white, but it opened up where you could see every one of those receptors. It was begging for moisture. My whole body was responding because my saliva glands didn't work. And I go back on Wednesday and the doctor says, well, it's working. And I'm thinking, nothing's changed. I'm thinking, I don't feel any different. What was funny is I had a wedding later that week and I'm one of the groomsmen. And I'm standing there and the wedding's going on and all of a sudden I start tasting penicillin. I'm like,
Safety, not saliva again. What's the whole point about all that? You need every part of your body. Some of you may have had your gallbladder taken out or your appendix or something like that. And then they say, oh, we didn't realize it did all that. What I want us to understand, we need every one of us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. What time does your class stop? 15 till? Okay, very good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Good advice for a family. Good advice for unity. Now, let's not get the idea that it's okay to be a weak member within the body of Christ. I want you to turn over to another passage that fits well with all these thoughts. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I really want to, we're going to look at verse 16. It sounds an awful lot if you start back at verse 11 with some of the things Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He gave some to be apostles and some teachers and some prophets. I want you to look at verse 16. Let's look at 12. But speaking the or 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. What a beautiful picture. But what that's saying is the point I'm trying to make. Every part is needed, and every part needs to do its share. So whatever your talents are, you may have limitations, but be active. Be doing these things for the building up of the congregation. Every part, just like my saliva glands didn't work, they didn't supply their part and the whole body suffered. And I thought that was uncomfortable. I had an abscessed tooth last week and I didn't know how bad that could hurt. And that hurt pretty good. And the whole body hurt with my mouth and my tooth. And so the body responds. And so you need to do your part. Be active in your part for the building up of itself in love. And so while the body is made up of all kinds of members, each member uses his all of that, when we do that, brings the body together as the physical body. It is unified. It is a unified body of Christ. We recognize our differences. We cherish them. We're glad that we go back to where Christians were conforming ourselves in the image of Christ. But we've got different personalities. We've got different likes and dislikes. But we use all of those moving, working together. All these moving parts doing their share. And we may not be perfect, but we ask God to forgive us. We encourage one another. We cry with one another. When one